Welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that aims to mine a few nuggets that can support us in transforming our well-being as we choose to live in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. I know, it can seem counterintuitive, like a nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark, but bear with me. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Thank you so much for joining me today. There's so much that contributes to our well-being, so many areas where we can enhance our lives, yes, even transform them. And today we're looking at a few very exciting ways that we can do that. I'm delighted to welcome back a wonderful guest, Angela Aurora Medway-Smith, otherwise known as the Practical Mystic. She's a spiritual channel, a psychic medium, a healer, an international best-selling author, mentor, and teacher who sees her role as helping people soar. Honestly, Angela Aurora has been flying herself since she joined me on this show a couple of years ago. She's been incredibly busy, not least in birthing a number of books into the world. We're talking about a couple of them today. First, a collaborative book called The Magdalen Oracle, Awakening the Power of the Rose. Here's how the conversation went once we finally hit record. Well, it's wonderful to have you back on the show. And I can't believe how much you've been doing lately. You've got books coming out left, right and centre. And the audiobook of one of yours is out today, the premiere day of this show, August the 8th. And that is The Magdalen Oracle. Tell me about The Magdalen Oracle.
Hey, it's great to be here, JJ. And we've been chatting for ages before we've come on.
Yes.
we could just talk all day.
We could.
So the Magdalen Oracle, Awakening the Power of the Rose, is a collaborative book which brings together Sisters of the Rose, Magdalene priestesses, teachers of Mary Magdalene Reiki, of different Magdalene associated practices from all over the planet. And I'm just absolutely blown away by how it's been received. We've had incredible reviews from men and women all over the world, and we got to Amazon number one bestseller in 7 different countries. And it just shows how ready the world is now to delve into these practices and for people to understand how working with the Magdalene frequency in many, many different ways can help you achieve that balance of the divine feminine and divine masculine within. And I was sharing with you earlier that for me, Mary Magdalene is about really an ally to help you step into your sovereignty, into your true self. And she's like that big sister who's pushing me along all the time, wanting the best for me, you know?
I love that. What is it, though, about the Magdalen? I mean, because she's been the source of amazing interest and people learning about or trying to find out more about her over the centuries. What is it about the Magdalen, Mary Magdalene, that is so intriguing and so powerful?
For me, it's the fact that she was vilified, lied about, oppressed, and she represents what has been done to women over the centuries in the same way. You know, we were talking earlier about the witch trials, and it's all very much the same thing. But we're coming to a time now where the understanding of the divine feminine is rising, and that sacred balance is coming back. You know, that's what she represents to me. I mean, I didn't share with you earlier, but in the book, I recounted a past life that I had with her at the time of the Essenes, at the time of the crucifixion. And that memory was brought back by working with the sacred oil. So it just flashed in front of me, and helped me understand really why I'd been drawn to her. So it's not just this life that this energy had been part of me, if you like.
And the Essenes were a very interesting sect, weren't they? They had some very definite beliefs which don't entirely tally with what we know now know as Christianity.
Well, they were a very secretive Jewish sect. They were vegetarians, and they lived communally. So they worked together, and the essence of the way they lived was that they would pray to angels. They would pray to the Divine Mother and Divine Father on waking, in the middle of the day, and in the evening. And it was Dr.
Serpent, wasn't it?
Edmund Bodo Sezekli. So his translations and interpretations of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Essene writings give a fresh perspective to what they were all about. And both Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and Mary Magdalene were members of this family, this sect. I mean, there are the new Essenes. There's a movement in the UK of the new Essenes. You can actually join the new Essenes and find out more. There's some fabulous lady, the Chrissy Astell, is very involved with the new Essenes.
That's fantastic. That's really interesting. Yeah, I didn't know about that. I didn't know there was a resurgence of the Essenes, especially not here. So it's awakening the power of the rose as well. The rose is of particular significance, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, I mean, there are many different colours of rose. Each of those roses has different significance, different energies. And some of our wonderful authors talk about working with how you can work with the flowers and work with the oils of the flowers as well to have that connection with this frequency.
It is beautiful. We should say that the Magdalene Oracle, Awakening the Power of the Rose, is a collaborative book. So you have a number of authors all contributing a chapter, and together they're a great repository of wisdom about the Magdalene and about what she means. And I've been on a couple of journeys through France, following the footsteps allegedly of Mary Magdalene, and it's fascinating, fascinating how her essence and the legends and the stories about her, they're still alive today. They're still talked about today. So, what is it about the power? I know you talked about balance, divine masculine and feminine, and you talked about how she was, like many witches in the past, done bad by. But there's more to it than that, surely, because she's such an extraordinary figure in history stroke legend, because some people don't believe that she existed at all. Right. But then maybe she doesn't have to have existed. Maybe just the avatar of this woman is enough. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, that's a lot to unpack.
I know. Oh, sorry, I gave you a lot there. Sorry.
So I mean, I have a memory of being in Egypt with Mary Magdalene, and there is the story goes, we call it a story, a legend, whatever you want to call it. The story goes that after the crucifixion, Mary went to Egypt, and she went to pray in the temples on of the Nile. And this is where a sisterhood emerged. And it was then this sisterhood that carried forward the teachings. And I mean, the sisterhood was in place before they even left Israel, but it was cemented in Egypt. And then from my understanding, this is my own personal understanding, people were placed in different parts of the world to bring that energy, bring those teachings to the people in that area. I know that in that lifetime, my journey ended in Crete. I didn't go on to France in the boat without sails, as they say. I went to Crete, and it actually helped me understand why Crete is and has been so important to me. For 40 years, I've been traveling back and forth there. I've tried to live there. I've been taking retreats there. And interestingly as well, Chrissie Astell takes the retreats to Crete, or has been for many, many years.
And Christy
Yeah,
Estelle
that's
is just to
she's
remind
the
people.
Essene. She's the lady who's involved with the new Essenes. She's an angel teacher. Yes. So in terms of the journey of Mary Magdalene, you've then got her arriving in France. The legends say the three Marys arrived on the beaches of the Provence at the Camargue, and you have the incredible, I mean, her purported daughter, Cyril Akali, Sarah Tama, whatever you want to call her, is also worshipped as a saint and revered by the Romani people in that area. So the legends and the history all intertwine to make this fascinating. I don't want to use the word story because it's more than a story. Because for so many people who remember their part in this, it's much more than a story. It's their truth. It's my truth.
Yes, and I have to admit that there's a cave in southern France where she allegedly spent her last days. And there is a power, there is an energy within that cave. I don't know whether it was somebody who just taught what she taught who lived there, or whether it was her, but certainly that is the story, to use that word again, attached to the place. And there is something about it, and you could easily see how somebody could live there. It's seen as a sort of sacred place now, and there are many places throughout France. But also, here in the UK, of course, you've got the stories of the Christ figure coming to the UK with his uncle Joseph of Arimathea, and then later you have stories up here in Scotland of him, of Yeshua or Jesus coming. Again, possibly with his uncle, who is a metal trader, so I'm told, so we're told, coming up to Scotland and coming up through the Western Isles of Scotland and into the Highlands at one stage or at a certain period with his partner, wife, Mary Magdalene. I love the idea that this could be actual history, and that, a lot of the proof of it's lost, but people still find the story so powerful. And it's incredibly comforting and empowering, because it's a story of actually pushing through and winning, for want of a better word, pushing through and being who you are regardless. And maybe that's what's so empowering and so fascinating about it.
My understanding about the cave is that Mary lived there in seclusion, as in the form of the Black Madonna, in order to protect her daughter, in order to protect her lineage and her teachings, because at the time the authorities were after her. So she was sort of in, she was in hiding. And legends also say that she came to Glastonbury, and Joseph of Arimathea built a house for her on the site of what's now St Margaret's Chapel.
Yes, that's true.
Which, which I use for, it sounds terrible, I use as a base for meditations. And whenever I have a retreat in Glastonbury, I'm blessed to be able to use the chapel for meditations. And I've got one coming up in December. So,
Fantastic. Yeah, it is a lovely little chapel as well. It was closed for some years, wasn't it? And they've renovated it a bit.
it's absolutely beautiful. The energy in there is just exquisite.
It is. It
It's
really
just beautiful. And the gardens are beautiful,
is.
and the volunteers do such a terrific job of keeping it open and making it available for people to worship in and practice in.
Yeah, and it's so unassuming, but it is so powerful at the same time. It really is lovely. Yeah, I agree. Well, it's great that you can do some work in there as well. When is the event that you're holding in December? Is it near Christmas? Because that's a great time there.
It's the weekend of the 5th to the 7th of December, but I'm actually teaching Mary Magdalene Reiki. That's one of the healing modalities, the energy healing modalities I teach.
Wow. Okay, brilliant. And are you doing that at the chapel? Is that
No, we'll be having an evening at the chapel and then a full day of teaching the Mary Magdalene Reiki, and then the following day then we've got some more work in the abbey and the chalice well.
Yeah,
So trying
again.
to incorporating all of the incredible sites. I mean, there are many, many more. You could spend weeks in Glastonbury and
Yeah.
not have experienced all of the energy.
That's true. Not all of it great, I have to say. However,
Not
it
all
is
of it great, yeah.
Chalice Well Gardens are beautiful if anybody's wanting to go and have a healing experience in Glastonbury, just sitting in those gardens. It's a lovely, lovely experience. It's one of those being in nature experiences which is almost kind of, supercharged because of where you are, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And they've got these beautiful arbors that you can sit in very quietly. And, it's a quiet space. People don't use their phones there. And there's little noise other than the noise from the road outside.
Yeah,
So
which
it's
in itself is
beautiful.
healing. Yeah,
Yeah, yeah,
fantastic.
yeah.
So, I mean, I guess basically the energy of Mary Magdalene is an energy that is around rebalancing, about harmonizing, and about enhancing your well-being through finding that harmony, that balance between the masculine and feminine, which we
Yes.
all need to find in order to sort of have both feet firmly in this existence.
Yeah. But also one of actually stepping up,
Yeah.
but until you find that balance, you can't step up.
Absolutely spot on there. I'm totally with Angela on that. Well, that was the Magdalene Oracle, and I received my copy the other day, and I can't wait to dive in. It looks to be full of wonderful wisdom as Sisters of the Rose share their inspirational stories and sacred practices with us. That's not all from Angela Aurora Medway Smith, though. We'll hear much more from her shortly, but first it's time to take a short break to hear from our station sponsors. Stay with us, we'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today, Angela Aurora Medway Smith, the Practical Mystic. Practical is definitely the way to go right now. Before the break, we were talking about her book, The Magdalene Oracle, the audio version of which is now available. I could talk with Angela about the Magdalene all day long, but as I said at the start of the show, Angela has been really busy in the book world, and another one of her books is now out, and it's called Angelic Resonance. So I was curious to hear more about that.
So Angelic Resonance is very simply a book that teaches you how to access source energy and quantum codes for intuitive food therapy. Now, if I unpack that,
tell us all, explain what that all means.
So I work with the divine rays and sacred flames. My first books were about work called The Book of Many Colors, The Book of Many Flames, and they talk about the 28 different energy frequencies that we have available to us now. And these frequencies are guarded and guided by ascended masters and angels, archangels, and archangelic collectives. So I started working with a lady called Lainey Savante Wulken, who is the food oracle. And so we were then sort of brought together in a big way. She's written in both of my books, Energy Healers Oracle books. I wrote in her High Vibrational Wellness book. And somewhere along the line, a message came through that we needed to do a book together to help people understand how they can influence the frequency of the food that they eat. Because we don't know the food that's on our plate. We don't know the journey that it's had coming to our plate. We don't know about, if we eat meat, we don't know about the life that the animal has had. We don't know about the death the animal has had, how that product that has been moved along the food chain to our plate. And the same for, you know, even the potatoes, the carrots, if the people packing them were in a really bad mood, mm-hmm. you know, it's probably a machine, but you get the picture.
Yeah.
So everything that's on our plate holds an energy. So, and we can change that. None of this is rocket science. So it's about giving people tools to be able to change that frequency. Let me give you an example.
Yeah, please.
Right. So if you want to be in more flow, then you would very simply invoke the energy of Archangel Gabriel and the 44th ray. But there is also a food that represents this energy. And this is where Savante came in. And the food is papaya. So if you really want to embody flow, you can eat papaya. If you don't have papaya, we have the quantum code for papaya. So you can introduce these foods into your energetic diet, if you like, by just writing some numbers. Because when we get down to it, everything in our universe is a string of numbers. Yeah? Everything. And this is what these are what these quantum codes are. These are strings of numbers that represent a frequency of a thing, if you like. I've been working with quantum codes for a number of years in my healing practice, and they're incredible, and have seen just such incredible transformations for people. But I would say these are always people who are ready to make that change. It's you know, anybody who works with any form of energy healing, every healer, every channel of whatever energy healing modality you want to mention will tell you exactly the same thing, that we ask for healing for the highest good of all and harm of none in accordance with the will of the divine and the will of the higher self. So if you aren't ready for that transformation, if you aren't ready for to release that disharmony that you're holding within your physical or energetic field, it may not happen as quickly as it might for other people. For a lot of people, we as humans amass this disharmony, and you hear people talking about stripping back layers of an onion to actually get back to the root cause of an issue. You know, that when we work with the quantum field, we can do these things very, very fast, because that's just the way it works.
Yeah, it can be instantaneous.
It can be instantaneous, but it always only happens when you are ready for it to happen.
Absolutely. And I see that all the time with people. If you're not ready, no matter how much work you do, energy healing you undergo, is that a word that we can use with energy healing? It won't work unless you're ready. Unless you, because it's like you have to, you know, you have to play your part as well. Healing isn't something that's done to you, is it? I mean, you know,
not at all.
It's you have to be ready. You have to do the work, even though it might not feel like that's a lot of work that you're doing. You have to be ready for it. Yeah, completely, completely agree with you.
You have to set the intention.
Yeah,
as well. Intention is incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredibly powerful.
It
you know,
is.
And any energy healer who understands that they are simply a conduit, they are simply the hollow bone. It's not them, it is the energy that is right for that person who is coming through at that time, is creating this shift. You know,
No, I'm completely with you. I hate using the word healer, because it makes it sound as if you are doing, you know, you're doing it to somebody. But actually, when I work, all I do is create the container in which
Absolutely.
The body can say, oh, look, oh, I can heal this now. Oh, great. And then that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
If the person that you're working with is ready to let go.
Yeah, yeah.
But that has to happen as well.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about the food thing, going back to the food. Are we saying, or, you know, does the book help in giving you ways to clear the energy of a plate of food, say, if it's plonked down in front of you in a restaurant, let's say?
Yes.
Yeah. So how would you do that? What's that all about?
Well, there are a few ways that you can do it. So there are sacred symbols. There are the codes, and there are invocations. So there are lots of ways that you can do it. You find the way that's most comfortable for you, and just go for it. You know, you could even laminate something that you put underneath the plate and carry around with you if you wanted to.
Yeah,
it's simple.
It really is simple, as some of the most powerful processes are. I also find this sort of thing fascinating, because in my experience, it really works. Well, we'll hear more on that in a minute or two, because it's time to take another short break right now. I'll be back with more on this topic right after these messages from our fabulous station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one award-winning talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and with me still is the Practical Mystic, Angela Aurora Medway-Smith. Before the break, we were talking about how to raise the frequency of what we eat, and I was reminded of forms of sacred geometry designed to do just that. Here's Angela again.
Yeah, between you and me, that's embedded behind everything that we do.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I've said for a long, long time that I calibrate the energy of food. You know, I can walk through a supermarket and even if it's organic, go, no, don't want that. Don't want to eat that because the energy isn't right. Because even organic food to me sometimes doesn't have the energy profile that I'm looking for in food. And certainly certain things I won't touch ever anymore. I do eat meat, but it has to be farmed properly. And yeah. I have to know where it comes from. And I have to know that it's, you know, it's been handled ethically and humanely. I'll pick up, especially in supermarkets, pick up packets of organic fruit or veg and put it straight back down on the shelf again, because I think, no, that does nothing for me. Nothing. So it's interesting, isn't it? And it's great, I think, this idea that we can re-energize or at least alter the energy of food on our plate, because we don't always have agency in the food that we choose or the food that's put in front of us, right? If you're in a restaurant, you don't know. I was in a restaurant once and I remember being, it was an Asian restaurant. I remember being served a plate of food. And I looked at it and it just turned my stomach because I can't eat this. And outwardly, there was nothing wrong with it, but the energy was just awful. I sent it back. Mm. But of course, you know, for a lot of people, people don't really think about that, do they?
No. I mean, if we actually go back in time, our ancestors prayed over food.
And I know people who do
that.
You know? Yeah.
Some people will still do that, but it was something that was always done. We gave our gratitude for the food, for the animal, for whatever had come to pass to create that, to bring that food to our plate.
Yeah.
And we've missed that point. Mm. We miss that point as well. And we talk about that in the book.
And also because we're so connected, and everything is energy, right? Everything is energy. We want to be careful about what we're putting into our bodies, especially as we are shedding some of the yuckiness that we might have embedded within our bodies, you know, getting rid of some of that energetic clogging up. We need to be mindful of what we're putting in as well as onto. That's one of my big things, you know, be mindful of what you're putting into your body and onto your body and around your body. So it is really important, I think, to be aware of the energy, the energetic signature of what you're ingesting, because that, you know, that impacts your well-being hugely.
100%. And you can use these frequencies to elevate the frequency of the water that you drink.
Yeah.
And it's not just food. It's what we drink. It's as you say, it's what we put on our bodies as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's all outlined in Angelic Resonance, which sounds like a great book to have. I might have to get a copy myself. And that came out in May this year, 2025.
Is that right? On May 5th. Yeah.
Yeah.
May 5th. Yeah, so there that's. There will be another one. There will be another one because we've only covered 10 of the Divine Rays and Sacred Flames in that book.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, so there will be another one eventually, but when, I don't know.
When, yeah. When you get, yeah, when you've got a space in your calendar, which you don't seem to have very much these days. And talking of which, I wouldn't be doing listeners a service if I didn't ask you. So what are you up to? What's coming up? And where can people find out more about you and all your books, which are fantastic? So first of all, let's start with your website. You've got a website. Tell people about that. And then maybe you can plug some of your upcoming events.
Okay, thanks, JJ. So my business is called Cariad Spiritual. I'm Welsh. If you haven't already picked up by my accent, I'm Welsh. So you can find me at cariadspiritual.com. So Cariad is spelled C-A-R-I-A-D. And it's the Welsh word that means love or sweetheart, because I do everything from the heart. That's who I am. And it's also what I call people when I can't remember their name. It's much easier.
It's a great word. It's a lovely word, Cariad.
It is. Yeah. So the audiobook of the Magdalene Oracle is coming out on 8/8. And a lot of the audiobooks of my early books are going to be released this year as well. So
fantastic. You have been busy. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have an audiobook of Angelic Resonance coming out, audiobooks of The Book of Many Colours and The Book of Many Flames are coming out, and they'll all be out by the end of this year. So you'll be able to find all of those on Audible. You can find all of my books on Amazon and some of them on other platforms as well. So the library apps and things like that, some of them you'll find on those. And they're also on my website. In terms of physical things, you'll find me at the Mind Body Spirit Festival in Birmingham in November. I only do three big shows a year now. So I do the London show at Olympia, the Healing Weekend Festival in Somerset in July, just because I love it so much. I've been going there for years. And then the Birmingham show. And then in December, I've got a little retreat teaching Mary Magdalene Reiki in Glastonbury. Yeah, so that's sort of Friday evening, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
Information on that is on your website, presumably.
Yeah, it's under the book now bit. Right. But I always encourage people to sign up for my newsletter, because I give stuff away every month. I give meditations away, and I basically do what my guides tell me. They say, oh, people need this month. So I just get on and share it. And yeah, I feel it's important that we are open to experiencing different ways of healing. And which is what the Energy Healers Oracle is all about. And that series. So I'm continuing the Oracle series, which started with the Energy Healers Oracle. So yes, on 11/11, we have the Intuitives Oracle coming out. So if you're interested in learning to develop your intuition, your psychic skills, your mediumistic abilities, that's the book for you. That's the book I wish I'd had my hands on 40 years ago. That would have really helped me.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, you have been busy, as I said before, and it's great to see. I think it's great. These collaborative books as well are lovely, because they give different voices and, different ideas. And I think that's really inspirational. And I haven't been involved in one of those myself at one point. You know, it's a great experience. So it's fantastic to see that you're doing all of this. And, you know, you're just a powerhouse, aren't you? You're just a powerhouse. You're bringing out books left, right and center. You're doing all this wonderful work. And yeah, I think I think the whole, I was going to say story again, but it isn't just the story. It's the whole Mary Magdalene. What word would you use? It's more than a story. It's more than a legend. It's
instead of history, it's her story.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's just fascinating to me. And I've looked into that a lot over the years. And also, you know, this hidden history that, or her story in this case, that has been, yeah, it's been changed for various reasons and with various agendas. But we're uncovering a lot of it now and learning the power of it all now. So yeah, I do recommend that people, if they're drawn to it, you know, go and find out more about it. Get Angela's book and find out a lot more about this very, very powerful woman, whether she existed or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is the energy. So Angela, thank you so much, Angela, and all the best with everything that you're doing this year.
Bless you, JJ.
My thanks to the practical mystic there, Angela Aurora Medway-Smith. Do check out the Magdalene Oracle. The more I get into it, the more powerful I see it is. And her book, Angelic Resonance, the full title is Angelic Resonance, Source Energy and Quantum Codes for Intuitive Food Therapy. You can buy both books from Angela's website, cariadspiritual.com. Now, it looks like we've covered two books of the day today, but how about a plant of the day? Well, in keeping, kind of, with a sort of French theme, let's take a look at dandelions. Now, did you know that our name for them is a corruption of the French, dandelion, which translates as lion's tooth, referring to the leaves with their deeply serrated edges? Dandelions are considered a weed by gardeners. They're hugely prolific everywhere in the UK, but did you know that they're also hugely beneficial? I asked medical herbalist Karen Brines-McLean to tell us all about dandelion the herb.
It's got a very long folk tradition, and it's one that you can use yourself quite happily. It's not contraindicated with any medications or in any particular medical condition. Now, when we look at dandelion, we look at something called the doctrine of signatures. And the doctrine of signatures is how medical herbalists used to recognise what plants could be used for. And in the doctrine of signatures, they say that plants with yellow flowers are very good for treating problems with the liver. And we associate the yellowness of the flower with the yellowness of jaundice. Now, that doesn't hold true for all plants, but 99% of the time that's true. And dandelion really fits that category beautifully. We use all parts of the dandelion. We use the leaf as a diuretic. Now, we actually get the name of the plant dandelion from the shape of the leaf, which is dandelion. And the French call this remedy pissenlit. They call the plant pissenlit, which translates to pee the bed. Now, as a child of the 70s, that's what I was told, that if I picked dandelion, I would wee the bed that night. And that folk story comes from the fact that this is a really good diuretic remedy. Nature is incredibly clever, because what she's done here is she's packaged us up a diuretic that's also very rich in potassium. Now, the problem with taking something that's diuretic is if you start peeing more, you start to get rid of all the minerals from your body. But here we have a plant that will actually increase mineral uptake and give us more potassium. So you don't end up in a deficit state when you use this plant. So we have these leaves which are wonderfully cleansing and diuretic. And then in the autumn, we'll dig down deep into the roots and harvest them. And the roots are classified as a cholagogue. Now, what a cholagogue does is it stimulates the flow of bile. So we use dandelion for a sluggish liver, a sluggish bowel, and when we're looking for a sort of detox support for liver health. Now, the liver does get a lot of burden nowadays. It's involved in the digestive processes, but we have such a big chemical exposure in our lives that taking something to support liver function can only be of benefit in our health. The flowers can be eaten in a salad. They're incredibly bitter, and anything that's bitter stimulates digestive enzymes. So if you take a dandelion flower in your mouth, you'll find that you start salivating, and that's the first stage of digestion, getting the saliva going. But if you pick a dandelion and break open the stem, you'll find that there's a white sap inside. And a traditional folk remedy for using dandelion is to rub the sap onto warts, and it helps to dissolve them. So it's a very easy remedy that's very, very accessible. Now, for people that like to forage for their food, young dandelion leaves, great in a spring salad. And in the autumn, if you dig up the roots, You can roast them in a very low oven and you can make a dandelion coffee from them. And the great thing there is you've got a coffee that's just full of health benefits, no caffeine, and again, very, very good for liver support. So versatile, really healthy plant to have, and one that we shouldn't dig out of our gardens. It's one that we should celebrate and enjoy for us and, of course, for the bees, because bees love dandelion too.
Great stuff. That was the garden herbalist, Keren Brines-McLean, with some interesting herbal facts. The next time you go to root out the dandelions in your garden, give a thought to the good they do for us. Not to mention the delight a dandelion clock can give a child. I loved that when I was a child. You can find out more about Keren at thegardenherbalist.co.uk, and you can book an appointment with her there if you would like to. I think she's a fantastic herbalist and totally recommend seeing her if you have something that you want to talk through with her. You can find out more about me at thepracticalalchemist.uk, not .co.uk, but .uk. Links to everything that I'm doing can be found there, including links to all my socials and YouTube channel. I've been quiet on all social media lately because I've been working on some exciting new things, which hopefully I'll be able to talk to you about soon. One thing I can mention now is TikTokophobia.com. That's a website created by me and Alexia Leachman, who is the world's foremost tocophobia expert. What is tocophobia, you might ask? Well, it's commonly defined as a deep fear of pregnancy and childbirth, but it really is so much more than that. It's a major anxiety disorder, and Alexia and I have both had it. And we talk about our different experiences on our podcast, TikTokophobia.com. That's TikTokophobia. We also talk to other experts and people who've had experience of tocophobia, and you'll find the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, as well as on our YouTube channel, Tick Tocophobia. You'll learn what the signs are that you or someone you might know has it and how to deal with that. And if you know of anyone who might benefit from listening to the podcast, please share it with them. And that pretty much wraps up today's show. Thank you all for listening. Join me next time for more great guests and more information with more practical alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.